of God to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at a few verses there at the end of the chapter. There is a theme that I want to run with tonight. I don't want to take too much of our time away from prayer, but it's the theme of simply holiness. Holiness in me. Holiness in me. And we'll begin reading there at the verse 35 in Mark chapter 4. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know, I wonder this evening, looking back on your life, have you ever shook with fear? Have you ever been in a position where you truly trembled? Perhaps in our younger days, we can think of times, perhaps amongst our friends, where they've played a prank upon us and they've scared us or jumped round a corner or they've done something in order to make us to fear and tremble. Or perhaps we have a personal fear. Perhaps there's something that we're truly scared of. Some people are scared of the dark. Others perhaps are scared of other people. But you know, I wonder, have we ever truly trembled with fear? These disciples here in this short portion that we read, they were scared. But you know, there was two types of fear that they encountered. Of course, we see the first one there in the verses 38 and 40, where it says, when the Lord was hiding in the hinder part of the ship, they woke him and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Of course, they were fearing for their lives. The wind and the waves were battering against the ship. The water was starting to come on board. They perhaps felt like they were sinking. They were fearing for their lives. But you know, there's also a second type of fear that we read of here in this passage. And it comes to us there in the verse 41. When they said, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You see, it tells us that they feared exceedingly. Well, of course, this fear was the fact that they were standing in the presence of God. They were standing in God's holiness. Well, of course, that's what I want us to study then this evening for a short few minutes. And we have to begin by, first of all, we're looking, what is the meaning of the word holy? Well, the meaning of the word holy is simply to be dedicated or consecrated to God. The Cambridge Dictionary also tells us that it means to be pure. And of course, when we look to Scripture, where do we find that pure holiness? Where do we find that dedication and consecration to God? Well, of course, we find it in the person of Jesus Christ. He was this example for us on earth. His life was a shining example of how we are to be holy. In fact, he said in John, in the chapter 6 and the verse 8, For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. You know, I wonder tonight, have we ever truly thought about how holy God is? And what it really means for us to be like him, and for us to be holy. To be overwhelmed by God's glory so much, and to feel his presence and his holiness, that we in turn then reflect that. Well, that's what I want us to look at tonight. And there's two simple points I want to leave with you. The first one is the importance of this holiness, the significance of it, the value of it to us. And there's three small sub-points I want to leave with you. Of course, we ask ourselves the question, well, why is it so important? We need to turn to Scripture to find this out. And our first point is the encounters of God's holiness. That's what tells us how important it is through Scripture. It teaches us importance through the awe surrounding in Scripture of God's holiness. We think of the various examples Scripture lays out to us. We think of Moses at the burning bush. Of course, when Moses seen the bush, the Lord spoke to him and says, Moses, take off thy sandals, for whereon thou standest is holy ground. Well, of course, what was the significance of that? Why did he have to take off his shoes? Well, of course, the symbol there is us as children of God and us as being human. We were born of the dust of the ground. And you see, God wanted to be in contact with his creation. God, when we think of his holiness, he entered earth through this burning bush. And of course, with Moses then being in contact with this ground, he was standing in the presence of God. He was standing in the presence of his Maker. You know, we also see the various accounts of God's holiness through the various stories in the New Testament and the disciples. We can also see, perhaps, in the writing on the wall, the time where the Lord's hand wrote forth onto the king. But you know, most importantly, there's a beautiful passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 28 and the verses 10 to 19 that describes God's wonderful holiness. Of course, it is the time where Jacob, he was walking out and he'd got tired where he'd been walking all a long time. And of course, the Lord told him to lay down to where he was and to set up camp for the night. But you know, as Jacob began to dream, you know the story, how that he beheld a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And I don't want to go through all the verses, but you know the story there. But if you come further on down to the verse 18, where it says, and Jacob rose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillow, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil there upon it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz. And of course, you know, Bethel means house of God. And what was the significance of that? What was the significance of the dream that Jacob had to the point where he set up an altar, and he called this name, or this place, Bethel? Well, you see, it tells us in the verse 16, that he awoke out of his sleep, and he said to himself, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. You see, he's not saying this is an awful place, no, but he's saying that this is an awesome place. He was overtaken by the holiness of God, that he was standing in pure awe. Of course, that shows us that this is important. The various encounters of God's holiness. You see, when we become more like Christ, we will begin to be in awe of his holiness and his wonder. Our faces, perhaps, will shine like Moses did after seeing the glory of God. You know the story of him on the mount, when he asked the Lord, could he see his face? And the Lord said to him, no man has seen my face and lived. And of course, Moses kept going on. He said, Lord, I want to see thee. And you know the story, how the Lord placed him in the rock, for he would not be able to withstand seeing the Lord. And the Lord turned his back and appeared for but a brief moment to Moses. And even though Moses only seen the back of the Lord, yet when he came down from that mountain, being in the presence of God and in the holiness and being in the glory of and seeing the glory of God, how his face shone and how the people said to him, Moses, cover thy face, for we cannot look upon thee. What a wonderful thing that is. And how it shows us the importance of this holiness that we too then will reflect just as Moses did. But you know, as we think of the importance of holiness and we think of the encounters of God's holiness, the second one, well, Christ's example of holiness. Of course, Christ's example that he lays out to us, that shows us that it's important to be holy. Christ teaches us importance. You see, he is the mark. There's no blemishes in him. He lived a perfect life. And what an example that is to us. What it is for us to strive after, to be holy like Christ. You know, the more we read of God's word, the more we see Christ's holiness in his day-to-day living. He dealt with day-to-day issues, and how he handled that reflected his own holiness. He had to deal with sin. He had to deal with money. He had to deal with relationships. And yet in everything, there was no blemish or no sin found in him. You know, throughout Scripture, and we even see it in the Lord's teachings, that when he repeats words, it is to give us significant meaning. Perhaps in our own lives, when we try to give emphasis to something we say, we raise our voices. Or perhaps if you're writing a letter or texting it, you would underline it, you would put it in bold, you would put some explanation points after it. You want to give emphasis to what you're saying. Well, you see, in the Hebrew text, when the Jews wanted to give emphasis to something, they simply repeated the word twice. And you get this in the various accounts of Scripture where God said, "Verily, verily." In other words, take note of what I am about to say. And then so through Christ living his life, it was a constant repeating. It was a constant importance of how we are to live our lives and how we are to reflect the same way Christ lived. The Pharisees, they hated this. Of course, we know that it was religious people that put Christ on the cross. They hated the fact that he was in constant communication with his heavenly Father. See, it Spurgeon sums this point up so well when he says, "In holiness, God is more clearly seen than anything else, save in the person of Christ Jesus the Lord, of whose life such holiness is but a repetition." Everything that Christ done over and over again, in every aspect and every manner of living that he lived it for the glory of God. He lived it in perfect holiness without blemish. What an example then to us to show that we too are then to be holy. But you know, we not only then see the importance of holiness through the various encounters of God's holiness and Christ's example, but we are also called to examine our own lives to show forth holiness. We are commanded by God to be holy. Of course, it has an important bearing on our life. Our life is to be given as a testimony before others. I wonder, have you ever been in a place, or perhaps you've ever met a person, where you always just stand in a great sense of reverence? Perhaps it could be a prolific figure in this world where when you're around them, you don't want to say too much for fear of saying the wrong thing. Well, you know, if we live in such holiness in our lives, that we reflect Christ, that they then will see Christ through us, and that they too will want that same holiness, that they will want to know of Christ, that they will want to be just like him. We are to be shining lights for Christ. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ Jesus is in you?" A.W. Tozer said, "Holiness, as taught in the Scriptures, is not based upon knowledge on our part, but rather it is based upon the resurrected Christ indwelling in us and changing us into his likeness." And so then this important call to us to examine our lives shows us that we too then are called to be holy. It's important, men and women, for us to be holy, for us to reflect Christ in every single way that we can. And of course then, with that thought of examining our own lives and the importance of holiness in our lives, we can turn to our second and final point. Because that's not only do we see in Scripture the importance of holiness, but we see the instruction then to holiness. The command to holiness. It's a familiar verse, 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verses 15 and 16. I'm sure you'll be able to say it with me. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So I want to once again leave three simple subpoints with you. The call in this instruction. See, it says there in the verse 15, he which hath called you. Of course, this call goes out to every single person, whether saved or not. We are called to be holy as Christians. We are called to live after Christ. He has set his example and we are called to follow him. It is of great importance. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7. But of course, there's the other side of that. Meaning that there's a call perhaps to someone here tonight that is outside of Christ. You too are called to be holy. You too are called to come to Christ, to accept him and seek him while he may be found. You know, R.C. Sproul put it in a really good way when he says, we don't know who we truly are until we find out who God is. And then when we see who God is, we see the glaring difference between his holiness and our corruption. But the gospel and the saving power of Christ addresses that gap. So I wonder, are you outside of Christ this evening? I think, in keeping with the line of holiness, I think of that portion of Scripture in Luke chapter 5 and the verses 4 to 11, where Jesus is with his disciples and he says unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And we can near picture Simon saying it sarcastically whenever he answered him saying, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down thy net. In other words, I've tried all night, but I'll do it to please you, Lord. And yet what happens? Their nets began to break with the amount of fish that was in them, to the point where they called over their friends and got them to help to catch all the fish. But you know what happens later on? Well, we see there in the verse 8, when Simon Peter saw what was happening, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes that they had taken. You see, when face to face with God's holiness, when the holiness of Christ stood before him, it brought him to his knees. And you know, if you're outside of Christ this evening or you're backslidden, you will meet Christ one day and you will give an account of your life. You will stand before him and his holiness on judgment. So we're called to make our calling sure. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we're called to be holy. Then secondly, we see the conduct in this instruction. Not only the call in the instruction, but the conduct in the instruction. Of course, it says in the verse 15 there, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In all manner of conversation. That means in every single aspect of our lives. Just as Christ laid out the example for us. In our relationships. In our work. In our workplace. In our family. Among our friends. How we carry ourselves on a day-to-day basis, we are called to be holy. We're to show forth the holiness of God in our conduct. We are to examine our lives on a daily basis. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So in this instruction to holiness, we not only see the call to be holy and how we're meant to be holy through our conduct, but lastly then the cause of this instruction. Well, we see it there in the verse 16 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Be ye holy, for I am holy. We should strive for this because God, of course, is pure and holy. And that should be our main motivation. He is Adonai, as the scriptures tell us. He is sovereign. He is Lord above all. He is not just the King of kings, but he is Lord and Father above all things. You know, I wonder, do you remember what I said earlier about the repetition, and when the Jews wanted to give emphasis to a matter, they repeated the matter twice? Well, you know, we see the sovereignty of God through the scriptures. When we can think of that passage of scripture where Christ was about to be born, and the angels began to sing, and what was their song? Holy, holy, holy. They weren't just given note to saying holy twice, but they said it three times. Oh, how holy is our Lord. Holy, holy, holy. He is the beginning and the end. We must take him at his word and obey it. We are to be holy, for he is holy. Our God in heaven spoke things into being. We can see that through creation. All he had to do was utter the words, and things simply were. And this brings us back, of course, to our portion then this evening, where Christ, and I'm sure you can picture it in your mind's eye, where he walks up to the forefront of the ship, and he faces the howling wind and the beating waves, and he simply says, peace, be still. Peace, be still. And of course, what happened? The wind and the sea obeyed him. There's a beautiful couple of verses there in 1 Chronicles 29. And it sums everything in the cause of this instruction to holiness up, where it says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honour come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. What a wonderful couple of verses. How it shows the power of God. He controls everything. Riches and honour come from him. He reigns over all things. Child of God this evening, live in the word of God. Let us be holy. Let us reflect Christ in our livings. Oh, that we may see this great important thing to be holy. Oh, that we may comprehend in our minds this instruction to be holy. We are to live in the word of God. Any struggle we have, any unknown situation, any query or decision we have, bring it to the Lord. Let him guide our way. Let our lives be consecrated to him. Let us repent of our sins. Let us live holy, sold out for God. And let us stand amazed in his presence. Let us marvel at his sovereignty. Let us seek to learn more and more day by day of his holiness. Let us strive after it. Let us live a life full of joy. Let us live it to the full. So let us be holy, for he is holy. Let's bow together in a word of prayer.